federal CXOs and other execs tell you, in their own words, the decisions they have to make, how they're making them, and how they need to partner with industry to execute. Today, focusing on the White House Forum on Accountability in Federal Contracting from July 7th, President Obama's call for a tighter budget means agencies need to get tougher on the deals they make with contractors. One of the speakers at this event is Jeffrey Zients, the Federal Chief Performance Officer and the Deputy Director for Management at the Office of Management and Budget. And he says highlights have begun a downward trend in contract spending. This has helped OMB deliver on this year's spending goals.
We're on track to meet the president's goal of saving $3 billion in real estate expenses by the end of fiscal year 2012. And capturing the learning from this process, we have a plan that is now in front of Congress to create even greater savings. We've proposed an independent board that will change really how Washington works by asking Congress to take an up or down vote on bundles of properties to sell or consolidate. This new approach would save us another $15 billion over the next 3 years, so we're hoping that Congress passes it quickly. We've also been changing how the government buys and manages information technology, putting an end to the practice of throwing good money after bad on projects that are over budget or behind schedule or will never deliver on their promised functionality. We've gone very deep on about 60 projects and done nuts and bolts reviews of those projects. And as a result, we've actually decided to terminate some of the projects altogether. Overall, we've reduced the budgets for those 60 projects by about $3 billion and counting. And most importantly, we've cut delivery time in half, which will help drive efficiency and service quality gains. We're now in the midst of making the structural changes required to drive sustainable IT improvements across all of government. This includes increasing accountability for performance, creating a dedicated career path for the first time for IT program management, adopting shared solutions, and then wherever possible, moving to cloud-based solutions. Let me now turn to today's topic, contracting. Like with all of our management priorities, we've made a lot of progress across the last couple of years. But for the 8 years before President Obama took office, from 2000 to 2008, the government spending on contracting grew 12% year over year. It more than doubled, and contracting spending in 2008 was greater than $500 billion. With all this growth, it's probably not surprising that taxpayer dollars were being spent on some contracts that were not very efficient and some that were wasteful. At the beginning of the administration, President Obama put a stake in the ground that we would stop this unsustainable growth and restore fiscal responsibility. He set a goal of saving $40 billion in contracting by the end of fiscal year 11. Thanks to the hard work of contracting professionals, many of whom are in this room, across government, agencies are now buying less, pooling their purchasing power to drive down unit price, and minimizing the use of cost-plus and sole-source contracts. These efforts are working. As you can see here, total contracting actually went down last year. This is the first decrease in government-wide contracting in 13 years. In fact, agencies spent $80 billion less than they would have spent had contracting continued to grow at that 12% per year rate that it had grown under the prior administration. And the good news is that we're seeing this downward trend continue so far this year. Of course, like with all of our management priorities, we're not declaring victory. There are opportunities for further reform and savings. And to that end, today we're announcing a new savings initiative. We're targeting the contracts for management support services. This is a segment of that overall contracting. These are IT program management, acquisition support, and other management support services that agencies regularly contract out for. Here's total spending on those management support service contracts. On the left, you can see that agencies spent approximately $10 billion in 2000. However, spending on these services has grown even faster than contracting overall. Spending actually quadrupled across the decade. And in 2010, we spent roughly $40 billion on these types of contracts. While many of these contracts do provide valuable services, some of these contracts are unnecessary and can be reduced. Sometimes agencies are spending money on consultants to write reports that really don't go anywhere. They sit on the shelf. And in some situations, it's hard to distinguish, actually, between contractors and federal employees. And believe it or not, there are still cases where we have contractors managing other contractors, clearly an unacceptable loss of control and oversight. So clearly, bottom line here is there are contracts for management support services that should be eliminated that we can no longer afford. Today, we're calling on all agencies to reduce their spending on these contracts by a minimum of 15%. So if you do the math, 15% on the $40 billion, this totals $6 billion across the government. And it's an important next step in making contracting more efficient. We'll be tracking and reporting progress in the months to come to make sure that we hit our $6 billion target by the end of fiscal year 12. In closing, this is really what the president's campaign to cut waste is all about. It's about building on the progress we've made, but continuing to push for more, whether in contracting, improper payments, real estate, or IT. We will continue to hold ourselves accountable for results.
That's Jeffrey Zients of the Office of Management and Budget. He's calling on all agencies to cut their spending on management support service contracts by 15%. That cut will save the government more than $6 billion. It's In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Coming up, you'll need to take another look at all your contract spending. Find out why next on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Do you know us? We employ more than 70,000 people in more than 800 locations throughout the United States. Through our network of suppliers, we indirectly enable tens of thousands of American jobs. Tens of thousands. Jobs that put food on the table. Jobs that put kids through college. Jobs that keep our economy going. And yet, many of you don't even know who we are. Our name is United Technologies. We are Carrier, Hamilton Sunstrand, Otis, Pratt & Whitney, Sikorsky, and UTC Fire and Security. Six businesses united as one powerful company. We may be the biggest unknown company in America, but our jobs power the economy, and our technologies, products, and services power the world. United Technologies. Get to know more about us at utc.com.
I'm like you. I watch the cherry blossoms bloom in the spring. I live amongst monuments and museums. I enjoy walks on the National Mall. Washington, D.C. is my home. This is where I found my career. I am a civilian employee of the United States Coast Guard. That's right, the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard provides me with great workplace training and excellent federal benefits. It allows me to live my life to the fullest. I have time off to travel and have flexible work hours so I can spend time with my family. Coast Guard gives me access to childcare, health and fitness programs, and first-class health insurance, life insurance, and retirement benefits. This is my career. It's how I serve. Find out more about U.S. Coast Guard positions available in D.C. and across the U.S. at CoastGuardCivilian.com/federal. That's CoastGuardCivilian.com/federal. The U.S. Coast Guard is an equal opportunity employer.
Profile America, Tuesday, July 19th. One of the rarest plays in baseball was seen for the first time in the modern era on this day in 1909, an unassisted triple play during an American League game between the Cleveland Naps and the team from Boston. With men on first and second, Naps shortstop Neil Ball caught a line drive, stepped on second to double off one runner, and tagged another before he could return to first base. To top off his day, Neil Ball also hit a home run as Cleveland beat Boston 6-1. While such dramatic plays are not often seen, the number of fans watching baseball games continues to grow. In recent years, attendance at major league parks has been as high as 80 million annually. You can find these and more facts about America from the U.S. Census Bureau online at census.gov.
I'm Amy Morris. Here's a look at Wednesday morning's Federal Drive. What will a new restructured post office look like? We get a sneak peek from a new report by the Postal Service Office of the Inspector General. And we get the latest developments in the debt ceiling standoff and how the decisions being made will impact federal contractors. That and more Wednesday morning starting at 6 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. For all the latest federal news, check us out on federalnewsradio.com.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You're in the executive suite, hearing from federal decision makers at the highest levels about the decisions they're making, how they're making them, and how they're partnering with industry to execute. Today you're learning about the administration's goals on accountability in federal contracting with July 7th comments from the White House event on contracting. OMB is asking agencies to relook at their spending on contracts on everything from technology support services to acquisition support to automatic data processing services. Dan Gordon is the administrator for federal procurement policy at OMB. He says agencies need to find a more realistic goal for spending on management support services.
We are focused, when we talk about management support services, on something very specific, and it will be completely transparent. Our friends from GAO, from the agencies, from industry and the Hill will be able to follow exactly what we're doing. We're focused on 15 what are called product or service codes, PSCs, and we'll be happy to share with you after this session exactly what 15 codes we're talking about. If you looked at those 15 codes for FY10, you'll see the $40 billion in spending, and of course you can get that information. It's publicly available from FPDS, the Federal Procurement Data System. There are different labels that are sometimes used for all or part of that collection of codes. We're calling them management support services as a convenient shorthand. You'll also, many people in this room will know the term advisory and assistance contracts, professional and technical services, knowledge-based services. Those labels cover some or all of what we're talking about. But the 15 product and service codes let you know exactly what we mean. That's what we're talking about. Why are we focused on that? As Jeff said, the most obvious reason is that's where the money is. That's where the spending is increasing. I'm not sure that this is the area where the spending is absolutely fastest, but it's certainly increasing faster than procurement spending was in the prior decade. As Jeff showed you, we're talking about quadrupling of spending in this area over the prior decade. Not only that, it's not only a question of quantity, there are also issues of quality. The fact is, this is an area that tends to be high risk for the federal government and high risk for the taxpayers. If you look at the chart up here, and I know some of you may have trouble seeing it, let me sort of briefly walk you through it. On the left-hand side, you see the breakdown for federal procurement spending overall. And you'll see there that it's mostly fixed price. Something like 36% of overall federal procurement dollars are running through cost reimbursement or time and materials contracts, both of which shift at least some and sometimes much of the cost risk to the agency and therefore to the taxpayers. Now look at the right-hand column. Those are our 15 product and service codes, management support services. There, you'll see that the top part, fixed price, is now a minority. Instead of being a majority, it's a minority, and instead, cost reimbursement and especially time and materials, labor hour contracts, have grown to become the majority. They are together something like 74% of the dollars spent in this area. It's an area of high risk, consistent with OMB's focus since the beginning of the administration on driving down high risk. We focused on this area. In addition, and Jeff alluded to this, the functions being performed under these management support services are the ones that are most likely to get close to inherently governmental functions, functions where it's not clear that the federal government is retaining control of its mission and operations. That's why in guidance that we issued to the agencies last fall on the civilian agency side, we said, when you put together your service contractor inventories at the civilian agencies, we want you to pay particular attention to these 15 product and service codes. We called them functions of special interest, and we're pursuing that here. I want to underscore another point that Jeff made. Contractors are enormously valuable to us in many areas, including in management support services. Contractors provide extremely helpful assistance to us, and we will continue to rely on contractors for support. What we're saying is we need to spend less money. We simply cannot continue spending the amount of money for management support services that we've been spending. There will be agencies or parts of agencies that will say, we need the services. That's really a program decision and not a contracting shop decision. And our answer to them in that case is, then you're going to need to find your savings by negotiating, for example, fixed prices instead of time and materials, or at least negotiating for a lower hourly rate, if that's the way we're paying it. But when we can, we need to cut back on these services so that we can reach this 15% goal by the end of fiscal 12 and drive the spending from $40 billion down to $34 billion. Again, there will be complete transparency. This is publicly available data. We will be discussing this with all of the agencies, in particular at what we call the ACSTAT sessions, the acquisition status sessions, which are an opportunity for us to hear about their successes and share them across the government, but also to hear challenges that they're facing. I should say that there are agencies already making progress in this area. Just to name one, I know the Department of Commerce has been very focused on cutting back on its use of management support services and negotiating better rates and fixed prices for the services that it does need. Let me, at this point, pivot to a few brief remarks about the progress we're making overall. As Jeff said, we're buying less, but what's particularly the focus of our efforts in the acquisition community is buying smarter.
That's OFPP Administrator Dan Gordon saying agencies that want to keep using management support services need to negotiate for fixed price contracts to save money. He says time and materials contracts are too expensive. It's In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. When we continue in the executive suite, more on the administration's goals on accountability in federal contracting. It's Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Electric has a proven 100-year-long record of supporting federal agencies to help you meet your responsibilities to mandates, missions, and taxpayers by combining the expertise of brands you know and trust, like Square D, APC, and Pelco, to make your energy safe, reliable, efficient, productive, and green. When it comes to power, process and machine, IT room, building, and security management, Schneider Electric's your energy expert and green partner for a sustainable and prosperous future. Visit schneider-electric.us.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Tradition never graduates, so make plans with family and friends to spend fall Saturdays in Annapolis with Navy football. Order your season tickets today. Join us at Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium for a game day atmosphere like no other. The best way to ensure tickets to all our games, including Delaware and Air Force, is to become a season ticket holder. Get the best seats now by calling 1-800-US-4-NAVY or by logging on to NavySports.com.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, nutrition, dietary supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio. Visit MyVillageGreen.com. Listen to past shows and discover other healthy living resources. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Megafood and Gero Formulas.
Listen to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio 1500 AM every Friday morning at 11 o'clock. Brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth, Fed Talk features live interviews with guests from the federal community sharing their insights on issues that affect you. Call in or email questions or comments to Fed Talk at federalnewsradio.com. Fed Talk is sponsored by GEICO, Host Deborah Roth will be joined by John Adler of the Federal Law Enforcement Officers Association to discuss the latest issues on Capitol Hill and how they affect federal law enforcement.
Profile America, Tuesday, July 19th. One of the rarest plays in baseball was seen for the first time in the modern era on this day in 1909, an unassisted triple play during an American League game between the Cleveland Naps and the team from Boston. With men on first and second, Naps shortstop Neil Ball caught a line drive, stepped on second to double off one runner, and tagged another before he could return to first base. To top off his day, Neil Ball also hit a home run as Cleveland beat Boston 6-1. While such dramatic plays are not often seen, the number of fans watching baseball games continues to grow. In recent years, attendance at major league parks has been as high as 80 million annually. You can find these and more facts about America from the U.S. Census Bureau online at census.gov.
Young, gov, and awesome? Join 500 federal emerging leaders at the only conference created by and for younger feds. The next generation of government summit presented by young government leaders and GovLoop takes place July 28th and 29th at the JW Marriott. Federal News Radio listeners, save on registration. Use the discount code FEDRADIO to save $55. Visit nextgengovt.com.
NBC News Radio, I'm Pete Williams. Some House Republicans are pushing a bill that would block any efforts to raise the nation's debt limit unless the Constitution was amended to require a balanced budget. President Obama says he would veto that, but he says a bipartisan group of senators has a plan that he would sign with budget cuts and tax increases over 10 years.
They, tomorrow, are prepared to start talking turkey and actually getting down to the hard business of crafting a plan that can move this forward.
Media mogul Rupert Murdoch testified before a committee of the British Parliament today about the phone hacking and police bribery scandal.
I would just like to say one sentence. This is the most humble day of my life.
Murdoch said he did not know about the phone hacking. At one point, a man with a pie plate full of shaving cream tried to splatter him and was arrested. And the space shuttle has left the International Space Station for the very last time, heading home. Atlantis touches down before dawn on Thursday. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Pete Williams, NBC News Radio.
With school, soccer, and carpool, I go in a million directions. So to shop for things we use every day, I make a beeline for Sam's Club.
Member Destiny McGuire on Sam's Club Stock-Up Event, where you too can get ready for fall with quality household essentials, find Tide, Bounty, and Ziploc for less.
My to-do list is done, done, and done.
Last year, members saved an average of 30% on everyday items over retail. Not a member? Join from July 20th to the 31st and get up to a $25 gift card. Sam's Club, savings made simple.
If you want to sell your car the fast and easy way, just bring it into CarMax today. CarMax will appraise your car and give you a written offer that's good for 7 days, so you can think it over or sell it right away. And the best part is, CarMax will buy your car even if you don't buy one of ours. So skip the hassle. Sell your car the easy way by bringing it into CarMax today. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You're in the executive suite hearing from federal decision makers at the very highest levels about the decisions they're making. You're learning today about the administration's goals on accountability and federal contracting. Several agencies saying they're doing more than cutting management support service contracts. They're reshaping their entire procurement environment. Hilda Ariano is a counselor for USAID, saying keeping contractors responsible and on task will translate into contract savings.
Our contractors or partners really must work with us together in development. We expect them to operate with us in the true spirit of partnership while contractually delivering effective and sustainable development solutions to the beneficiaries we work with. That's sort of the backdrop for where we have come into the procurement reform agenda. We expect our partners, and we think very successful in most cases, to ensure the accountability and integrity within their organizations, their systems, and their personnel. We expect them to meet the compliance standards of the United States government. And if something goes wrong, and here is a very important point, we certainly expect them to come to us immediately to remedy it and reduce any further cost to the U.S. taxpayer. With this expectation in mind, and to hold our partners and our agency more fully accountable for our contracts, we've stood up the Compliance and Oversight Performance Partner Performance Division, and we have created a senior-level suspension and debarment task team, which is led by the USAID Deputy Administrator. All of this moving toward addressing high-level administrative actions. USAID's new division is dedicated to proactively tracking trends on partner performance and catching issues early on. A telephone hotline and email box have been set up for disclosure by partners of issues related to mismanagement under USAID programs or any fraud, waste, and abuse-related issues. As you can imagine, for us, this is especially important given the complexity of operating environments in which we serve. We are providing fraud awareness training and building best practices for our staff and for our partners. We have hired, as many of you may know, a significant number of new officers in recent years. And as a result of that, the piece that is, as you mentioned, Dan, training and mentoring in this area is very, very important. It is not just in the acquisitions area. It is across the board in every officer that has responsibility for managing U.S. taxpayer dollars. So the training piece is a complex undertaking. We're working closely with the Interagency Suspension and Debarment Committee, USAID's General Counsel, and our concurrent collaboration with our Office of the Inspector General. This concurrent collaboration really is a best practice for all of us, and redefining those relationships and the level of communication have been especially important. The new compliance division is also overseeing our determinations of suspensions, debarments, administrative agreements, and other official actions taken against contractors or grantees who violate U.S. laws and regulations or perform unethically while implementing U.S. government programs. Our accountability efforts are already producing results. Since January 2011 alone, we have taken suspension or debarment actions against 41 individuals or entities. Many of these cases have been in high-risk environments such as Afghanistan, where the agency considers itself most vulnerable. For instance, we took action against a private security firm in Afghanistan for its links to a debarred entity and proposed for debarment 22 Afghan nationals for issues related to fraud. We have learned much over the past few months and from our previous years of experience in operating accountably in overseas programs. We will continue to learn. We have taken administrative actions related to suspension, and we have taken actions against some relatively well-known contractors or partners. We certainly have said, this has been said by our administrator, that we consider no one too big to fail. This is a delicate undertaking. It's a difficult undertaking. But as we move forward as an agency, given the complexity in which we operate, we feel this is necessary, and we are going to do the necessary to be successful at it. Thank you very much.
That's Hilda Arellano. She is with USAID at a White House event on accountability and federal contracting. She says the agency's senior-level suspension and debarment task team will help catch contractor performance problems early on. It's In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, when we continue Defense Department accountability in contracting. You'll hear about it next on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon Family Groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon Family Group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON.
The Government IT Solutions Spotlight is brought to you by CDWG.
An interagency working group is trying to ensure the security of commercial software. The Departments of Defense and Homeland Security lead a task force to identify short-term risk mitigation strategies. The committee also wants to make sure the country maintains manufacturing capabilities over the long term. Greg Schaefer is the Acting Deputy Undersecretary for the National Protection and Programs Directorate at DHS. He says there have been instances of malicious code found in software and hardware used by the government.
If you're in federal IT, CDWG has the people and products to seamlessly integrate all your communications into a single, unified, accessible communications network. So if your employees are scattered hither and yon, visit cdwg.com/unified. We'll make it seem like they're all hither, not yon. CDWG, people who get it.
Visit CDWG.com to learn how Avaya phones can help improve productivity with features like conferencing and corporate directories.
The Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris.
Not even former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld can escape the TSA. No, indeed, Rumsfeld was selected for a full pat-down at Chicago's O'Hare Airport. Rumsfeld was reportedly all smiles and very nice throughout the procedure. He was probably gritting under his teeth. Just my guess.
That's the best noise you've ever made on the Federal Drive.
The Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris. Weekday morning, 6 to 10.
We're back on In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You're in the executive suite from White House Forum on Accountability in Federal Contracting, listening to some key decision makers in the federal government talking about how they're making those decisions today, of course, about contracting. The Defense Department's been on a mission to reduce its use of high-risk contracts. Richard Ginman is the Director of Defense Procurement and Acquisition Policy at DOD. He says continuity of services contracts have helped the agency save $1 billion.
Today we pause to take account of the progress that's been made over the past year to realize a more efficient and accountable government. Former Secretary Gates made clear in May of last year the Defense Department is entering a new era in defense spending. President Obama's planned defense budgets are strong and robust and will stay so, but both the President and Congress have made it clear that the national security part of the budget, and defense is approximately 20% of the total budget, must be part of the overall budget equation for the next several years. We, the department, cannot be exempt from efforts to bring the federal deficit spending under control. And as we assess how to accomplish the task the President's laid out, former Secretary Gates undertook, and now Secretary Panetta will continue, a comprehensive review of the impact of budget reductions on force structure and capability, and ultimately on the missions and America's role in the world. Recognizing the country's fiscal and economic reality, last May, the Department launched a many-pronged efficiencies initiative to ensure the Department's managing its budget in a manner that, as former Secretary Gates put it, is respectful of the taxpayer at an economic and fiscal, at a time of economic and fiscal distress. As one of those prongs, he tasked Dr. Carter, the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition Technology and Logistics, and my boss, to devise a plan to address the $400 billion that we spend annually under contract of the $700 billion DOD base plus wartime budget. This led to what we have called the Better Buying Power Initiatives. It was introduced by Secretary Gates and by Dr. Carter in September of last year. It is guidance to the defense acquisition workforce for how we can get more without using more. Leading the effort, fundamentally changing the way the department does business, has been Dr. Carter's number two priority, with supporting the warfighter his first priority. To achieve such change, we must not only be deliberate in how we spend money, but also in what we buy. Over the past 2 years, we have canceled many programs that were either not performing, whose time had passed, or where we had already bought enough, and altogether those exceeded $300 billion. The programs we now have underway, or which are getting underway, are military capabilities we do need and do want. We need to acquire those capabilities that these programs will deliver for our warfighters, but do so using money the government and the country can afford to allocate to the vital objectives that we have. We are targeting affordability and cost growth. We're incentivizing productivity and innovation in industry, and we're promoting real competition and improving especially the way that we buy services. A shining example of how we've redoubled our efforts to drive a hard bargain, get a better deal for the taxpayers, is the Navy's continuity of services contract. For the past 10 years, the Navy has received network support under a commercial contract that left ownership of all infrastructure and intellectual property with the contractor. The Navy developed a strategy for the cost-effective acquisition of the infrastructure and associated intellectual property by developing a sophisticated modeling technique to catalog and determine the net book value of the individual component parts of the network. This was more than 1 million individual assets located at 2,500 sites around the world. Armed with this knowledge, the Navy was able to aggressively negotiate a price for the infrastructure and the intellectual property rights, covering 380,000 computer users and 80 computer seats, 380,000 computer seats and 700,000 users worldwide. This allowed the Navy to save significant resources. In fact, it was in excess of $1 million below what it was that was originally offered. So they're going to be able to use that money for other needs. I'd like to take this opportunity to specifically recognize Ms. Debbie Stroyford, who was the negotiator and contracting officer for the deal. She is off today on a well-earned cruise in Alaska and is represented today by Tim Dowd, sitting in the back, the Director of Contracts at the Space and Warfare Command, and also by Randy DeLarm, the Deputy Program Executive Officer for Enterprise Information Systems in the Navy. We've made significant strides over the past year. There is certainly much more for us to do, as has been discussed today. As we look ahead, we expect to engage industry to identify further opportunities to reduce cost, to increase our efficiency, and most importantly, get a better deal for the taxpayers.
That is Richard Ginman of the Defense Department at a White House event on accountability and federal contracting. It's In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You know what a reverse auction is? The government is using them quite effectively. The Office of Federal Procurement Policies, Dan Gordon, will explain next on In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Even my wife really doesn't understand what I do. She calls it cyber chess. Actually, that's close. As a cyber specialist, I help clients understand the critical moves they need to make before an attack occurs. It's more than just data security. It's the full cyber life cycle.
In a certain context, I'm like my brother. He's preventing crime patrolling the streets. I spend my day online ensuring our clients' data and information systems are secure. It's what I do. I'm good at it.
For a cyber career that's something truly extraordinary, look no further than the strategy and technology consultants of Booz Allen Hamilton. As a global leader in cybersecurity, Booz Allen offers competitive salaries and benefits, ongoing training, and the opportunity to work with recognized cyber thought leaders at a company committed to helping you get the most out of work and life. That's why Fortune named them one of America's 100 best companies to work for again.
That's why I chose Booz Allen.
That's why I chose Booz Allen. For a cyber career that's something truly extraordinary, visit BoozAllen.com/FED. Booz Allen is an equal opportunity employer.
Statistics have always been important in baseball, but the Nats and other teams are now using sophisticated engineering to analyze the game even more. A technology called PitchFX, for example, uses multiple video cameras to follow the physics of the ball from the pitcher's hand through the crack of the bat. It's great for baseball enthusiast Alan Nathan, also a University of Illinois physics professor.
These cameras are recording every pitch in every game in Major League Baseball in 1/60th of a second intervals from when the ball is released to when it crosses home plate.
The system is engineered to instantly provide television viewers with graphics on pitch location and speed. And Nathan says coaches can get details about the physical mechanics of player performance.
You end up with a distinct advantage for player development purposes, for scouting purposes.
Complementary systems are zeroing in on batters and even following motions on the entire field. More at nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Are your business's online activities, networks, and information secure? Bolster your organization's cyber defenses by attending the Department of Homeland Security's G1st Conference in Nashville, August 7th through 12th. The nation's premier cybersecurity forum allows government and industry leaders to share cutting-edge cybersecurity solutions. G1st is free, so register today at uscert.gov. That's uscert.gov. Remember, cybersecurity is our shared responsibility.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You are in the executive suite today in the 3 o'clock hour, as you are every Tuesday at 3. We take you inside the executive suite so you can hear directly from federal CXOs and other executives to tell you in their own words about the decisions they have to make, how they're making them, and how they partner with industry to make them happen. One of the techniques that agencies are using to save money in contracting, in some cases big money in contracting, are reverse auctions. And the administrator of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy, Dan Gordon, talked about reverse auctions at this White House event called Accountability in Federal Contracting.
Electronic reverse auctions have been around for a good number of years. The Navy, by the way, was a pioneer, I think, in the federal use of electronic reverse auctions. And I should also point out that I think today that DHS may be the leader. My understanding is that over the last two fiscal years, DHS has run more than 2,500 electronic reverse auctions each year, saving tens of millions of dollars and, by the way, getting a disproportionate, in a healthy way, disproportionate percentage of the resulting contracts to small businesses. So they have been a win-win-win, typically saving the agencies on the order of 15 to 18% lower than what they have been paying historically. One of the challenges is when to use them. And this is, it's a great question, Willie, because it's one that we raised as we spoke with agencies across the government to learn lessons. There are agencies that have used electronic reverse auctions for services, but I think they've generally said it should really be a commodity type service, like overnight delivery, for example, rather than a service where you're going to need to do a technical evaluation. Also, they're usually best when price is the only evaluation criterion. As soon as you talk about doing a trade-off between price and something else, you risk putting the vendors in an unfair situation. They compete on price, one of them wins with a low price, and yet they still don't get the contract. So rule of thumb, better for goods than for services, if services, then commodity services, and best when price is the only criterion, challenging if you're using other criteria.
That is Dan Gordon, the director of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy at the Office of Management and Budget, talking about reverse auctions. He says agencies' uses of reverse auctions have cut their budget spending in the target range of 15 to 18%. The Homeland Security Department's been working on a series of initiatives to reform how they buy goods and services. Rafael Boris is the undersecretary for management at DHS. He says strategic sourcing's helped the agency make smart contracting decisions.
Back in March of 2000, 2009, the Secretary Napolitano initiated an initiative called her Efficiency Initiative. And this is an initiative that she brought from Arizona and initiated at the department. And that initiative coincided with some guidance issued by OMB to get smarter about contracting. So both of these initiatives came together at a good time and produced what I like to say a really good emphasis around good smart contracting and a good initiative around savings. Our strategic sourcing initiative is really the highlight of what I'm going to talk about today. Since January 2009, we've been able to document about $587 million worth of savings. Now, we've had that independently verified. And just to give you a sense of the magnitude of it, in 2010, about $2.9 billion of our spend was strategically sourced. Now, that's about 18% of our overall spend. And that's just in the second year of this really big initiative, really big push. We've been able to do that, though, by maintaining a exceptionally high small business contracting participation goal. And we routinely exceed our required goal of 23% and live at around 33%. So we do an excellent job internally at DHS in meeting our small business goals. But in particular, one of the criticisms, of course, has been over the years is that strategic sourcing initiatives can be uncompetitive or can lead to a reduction in businesses, business for small businesses. And we have found that to be exactly the opposite for us. Where about 36% of our contracts that have been strategically sourced have gone to small business. So we're really proud of that. We've been able to achieve this success in primarily three areas. One being a very basic one in office supplies. We spend almost $100 million a year in office supplies. And DHS started by putting together some strategic source contracts, and it really was a sort of an integration collaboration effort because it helped bring different parts of the department come together around smart and collective buying. And then we joined up with GSA on their federal strategic sourcing initiative, and we expect to be able to result with even greater savings as a result. So the office supplies, it may sound small, but it's a very, very important, and it showed us, it proved to DHS that we can do it. The second big thing that's resulted in some substantial savings to us, and also it's produced some great operational efficiencies, is around software licenses, enterprise license agreements. So again, we use the same model, working with all of DHS, to come together and collaborate and take a look at what we're buying, what we're using, what we could use, how we can use it better. And that's resulted in about $82 million worth of savings. And that will continue to grow because, again, we've just begun that effort around enterprise license agreements. So that's taking off very, very well. The third area that helps us meet our small business goals and something that we're really proud of is an initiative called PACS, which is our Program Management Administrative Clerical contract. And this is specifically a contract set aside for service-disabled veteran-owned businesses. And this has just been a really fabulous example of strategically sourcing where we did two things. We did that around IT, so it's primarily geared for IT spending. And we've, if you will, strategically sourced a market, the service-disabled veteran-owned businesses, to be able to put a big initiative around that. And that one as well has been extremely successful for us. We have spent on PACS over $95 million, almost $100 million, with service-disabled veteran-owned business in the IT area. So it's competitive within that realm. These are just three examples, and certainly there are many, many more within the department, but they're just three examples that coming around the strategic sourcing initiative has had a tremendous benefit and ancillary benefits as well in terms of operational efficiencies.
That's Rafael Boris. He's the Undersecretary for Management at the Department of Homeland Security, speaking at a White House forum on accountability in federal contracting on July 7th. Mr. Boris says DHS has met its goal of providing more contracts to small businesses.